This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. The FDA released their milk residue study and found that more than 99% of the samples tested were free of antibiotic residues. Washington State Dairy Federation Director of Policy and Government Affairs, Jay Gordon, shares more about the positive results.
I viewed the findings that FDA had on the milk supply as great. Yeah, there's a little bit of work to do, but it's a very small amount. And we'll have to look at all the numbers, and again, we'll just go to work on producers saying, guys, you can't be using stuff off-label. It's a minuscule percentage of the population. And the other thing that was stunning was, if I'm not mistaken, when you look at the safeguards that are in place, zero detect in any retail milk.
Gordon says the safeguards are in place on the farm and at the milk plants to test and retest and retest the milk before it ever gets into a retail container. Hamilton's hay auction will be taking place this weekend. I spoke with Mike Hamilton for a preview of the auction.
So far, we've got quite a few 3x3s in. We've got some really good alfalfa, and then we've got a fella brought in 30 bales of exceptional fourth crop. It's super green. Would make excellent horse hay or dairy quality hay. And I'm probably going to end up with 100 to 150 round bales. And at this point, it's kind of hard to say on the small squares with the, like, they're predicting rain all day today. So hopefully what small squares we get in will come in the morning. But the sale will go on as scheduled, and our building is full of 3x3s, so we have a good variety of hay.
With spring here, Hamilton's hay auction now has its final sale day in sight.
Our last day will be April 11th, so if you're looking for hay or got hay to move, you've got 5 more weeks, so April 11th will be it.
Anyone with questions about the hay auction can call Mike Hamilton directly at 618-410-4293. The Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District has set the dates for its annual spring tree sale and fish sale. The dates are April 3rd for the tree sale and April 8th for the fish sale. The tree sale contains a mix of conservation-grade hardwood and evergreen seedlings, as well as a selection of hardwood potted trees. The seedlings sell for $1.50 each with quantity discounts available, and the potted trees sell for $15 each. The fish sale is a sale of live fish for pond stocking. The fish come from Logan Hollow Fish Farm in southern Illinois, and varieties include several sizes of catfish, bass, crappie, bluegill, sunfish, red ear, grass carp, and minnows. Pre-orders are required, and prepayment is appreciated. An order form is available on the Soil and Water Conservation District's website at montswcd.com, or can be obtained by calling 217-532-3610 or picked up at the Soil and Water Conservation District office in Hillsboro. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this. A group with the Midwest Truckers Association recently traveled to Panama to look at the expansion work currently being done on the Panama Canal. The 100-year-old canal has become inefficient when it comes to moving goods because many cargo ships have become too large to fit through the waterway. President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer, was on the trip to Panama and detailed how they saw the canal currently operating.
What we saw when we were down there was amazing to see the big ships come in, take all the containers off the ship in some situations, and then put them on trains going from one end of the canal to the other, load them up on smaller ships so that they can go to Galveston, Jacksonville, Florida, Savannah, Georgia, those places. The smaller ships can still go through, but the big ones cannot. So that's what's impeding, you know, so much commerce going through there.
The canal project is set to be wrapping up in 2016, and once completed, Schaefer says it will make shipping goods everywhere much more efficient.
The concept with the canal expansion is that the ships will be able to go through the canal, save some time, and in some cases go directly to the ports on the East Coast and on the South Coast, and then either go directly to their location or come up from the South, come up same way, come up to Joliet, but coming up through places like Litchfield, Springfield, what have you. It is really, it's a continuation of the growth of the most efficient means of travel, moving it by container and then moving it by truck to its final destination. people are saying, well, is it going to hurt us here in the Midwest? To the contrary, it just means more efficient movement. It'll mean just as many, probably more containers coming through. It means we're going to see containers not just going from, say, California to Joliet area, Chicago area, but it means we're going to probably see containers going from Texas, Jacksonville, Florida, to come up to our area also because of the fact that they'll have more ports that they can operate from.
Although the expansion is set to make transportation more efficient, when it's completed, it still won't be able to fit the largest ships that are on the ocean today. But the ships it will be able to fit are still an impressive size. Schaefer went over some of the size and scale of the expansion.
Well, some of them are so big, they've made a couple. There's a class that is so big that would not be able to go through the canal. And, you know, if you look at it, the locks that they're building are going to be like 4 football fields long. So, I mean, you know, that's 1,200 feet. And they're going to be like close to, I think they said, 300 feet wide. And, you know, what we've seen when we're there is just, I mean, everything's so immense. And to think that the ship that could go through there and could clear through the channel, it's just, it's hard to fathom. But, I mean, right now you're there, every place you turn, they're cutting mountains in half, literally, to move all the dirt. They're still dredging, but by the end of next year, they said they're going to be ready to go.
With all the material being dredged and cut away, questions are being raised about the environmental impacts of the canal, but steps are being taken to ensure the completed canal is much more environmentally friendly than it has been for the past 100 years, especially in terms of marine life.
But, you know, you're also dealing with an environmental situation. You're dealing with a rainforest. You're dealing with a jungle. The canal is actually is fresh water because the canal is fed by a freshwater lake, and all the water in the canal is fresh water. So when the ships are going through, they've gone through a lock from salt water into fresh water, and then when they go out, they go from fresh water to salt water. And the new technology that they're using is that instead of just, you know, wasting the water that's gone through the locks or what have you, the new locks are going to have this massive basin whereby they're just going to reuse the water. And from an environmental standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. It keeps the brackish water out, and then it also keeps them, you know, the ships to empty their bilge so that they don't pollute the water, the clean water, and cause, you know, issues like we see in freshwater basins like zebra mussels and those types of things that we see up here.
Again, that was Don Schaefer of the Midwest Truckers Association speaking on his recent trip to the Panama Canal. For more information on the canal expansion, you can visit pancanal.com. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.